Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at patreon.com/realitytvpod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello there, my salty friends. Welcome to another week of Reality TV. It is a bright, sunny, beautiful day in Chicagoland. And although I'd love to be outside, I am very happy to be inside in my, well, I'm getting there. I'm soundproofing my room. Absorbing panels are on their way. I'm going to get all acoustical up in here. So hopefully, over the next few weeks, you will be listening to a much more, or I should say less, echoey Jody. Now, I'd love to be outside in the sunlight, the heat on my skin, but I am in here because we have quite a lot to talk about between Sister Wives and Seeking Sister Wife. We had some amazing moments. But first, I'm going to thank my newest Patreon subscribers, Brandy Daly, Kaylee Cobb, very similar to Casey Cobb. Wasn't that Jessica Simpson's best friend? Or am I thinking Britney Spears? One or the other, all in the same. Also, Lisa and Morgan Owens, thank you. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the Baddest Apples Facebook group. I hope you're having a ball, and thank you for keeping Reality TV alive. Now, we're going to take a brief dip into the shallow end of the news because, like I said, we have a lot to talk about in the polygamy world. First up, it was like a ray of really bitter sunshine first thing in the morning. I was reading the news, aka Radar Online, and I finally heard the audio of Elizabeth Hasselbeck losing her goddamn shit on The View back in 2006. I posted a link in the Reality TV Orchard of Snark Facebook group. You can go and listen to it yourself, or I'm sure if you search YouTube, you can find it. With this new book about The View coming out that I absolutely will read, all of these stories are coming out. I don't necessarily believe all of them, but this one, you can believe it because you actually hear the audio. And believe it or not, I remember this episode. I don't know why I would have seen it because I would have been working at the time, but who knows, I was probably homesick or it was on in the summer. So Elizabeth was talking about the morning after pill, and she was anti-morning after pill because in her mind, it was an abortion pill. Needless to say, Joy and Barbara and Lisa Loeb, who was on the panel that day, they were, you know, disagreeing with her. And Barbara did become condescending and telling her to calm down and all this kind of shit. Well, then you get the audio. So we see that part in the video. Then it just cuts to the audio and it gives little subtitles what's going on. What you hear is Elizabeth getting up, ripping her cards in two, storming off the set, and you hear Joy Behar telling her to calm down and, yeah, I know. And Elizabeth is pissed because she's saying, you know, I'll take that stuff from Barbara in the back room, in the writer's room, but not out here on stage for all America to see. Fuck that shit. Oh, yeah, she's saying fuck. And then she says, oh, I don't even swear. And this woman has me swearing. Ye gads, or some shit like that. Then she starts saying that she's quitting, that she's leaving, she's packing up her office. And this is all in a commercial break. Bill Getty comes in and he starts telling her, I know, I talked to Barbara and I told her that you can't do that. I don't believe that for a friggin' second, but that's what he's telling her. Somehow he convinces her to go back on set and there's like 30 seconds left, 15 seconds left. And next thing we see is what we all saw on live television. She's sitting next to Barbara and all of a sudden they're playing nice. Like, oh, and this is why we call it The View. All women from different viewpoints and we love each other. And then they, you know, play this little mommy daughter sweetheart game. It's freaking crazy. But again, I am not a huge Elizabeth Hasselbeck fan, clearly, because our politics are very different. Even though it's 12 years old or 13 years old, there goes my math again. The View drama, it never gets old to me, and I freaking love it. Now, in other news, we have Jim Bellino, that is Alexis Jesus Jugs Bellino from Real Housewives of Orange County. Her ex, Jim Bellino, will not pay the $200,000 that he owes Shannon Bedore. If you're not familiar with this, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell because it was stupid, hence why it was thrown out of court. So Shannon Bedore and Tamra Judge called Jim Bellino a shady motherfucker. It might have been on Heather McDonald's podcast or during a live event. Somehow Heather McDonald is in this. I don't know. Well, Jim Bellino said that that was slander and, you know, it caused his businesses to fail, some bullshit like that. So he was suing them. Well, the case was thrown out and Shannon was asking Jim Bellino to then pay her legal fees. And she said her legal fees were $200,000. Now, Jim is fighting that saying, I'm not paying that. I haven't seen a detailed account of what her attorneys spent all this time and money on. So he's saying the most he will pay is $40,000, but he's even fighting that. If I were the judge in this case, I would say you're both guilty of being assholes and your penance you shall pay is to fly all of us who are listening right now out to the OC and treat us to a night at the Quiet Woman. Now, what else? Janelle Evans. Well, Janelle, seems that she stormed off the set at least once during the Teen Mom 2 reunion this weekend. Our host, Nessa, who usually drives me frickin' nuts, I'm sure she's a lovely person in real life, but she is not meant to be a host for these reunions with these teen moms. Well, she is dating Colin Kaepernick, and because Janelle is married to a racist homophobe, David has said quite a few things, I think, about Colin personally. So Nessa just went for it, and she was asking Janelle questions about this, and Janelle tried to do her thing where she, you know, deflects and brushes it off, but I guess she lost her shit because at the same time, David was blowing up her cell phone as she was filming. So I can't wait to see the reunion. It's got to be better than this season that we watched because the season was so completely boring. And please, let's just get rid of Chelsea, okay? Let her go live her life with Cole and the babies and Aubrey and baby talk all they want and wear American flags, but I do not need to waste my time watching that chick anymore. Okay, all of that said and done, let's get into Sister Wives first. We gotta save Seeking Sister Wife for last because that's just going to be the cherry on top the polygamy sundae today. Above all else, everything in this episode, the one thing I loved more than anything else was the aerial view of the cul-de-sac. Did you see it? Because I certainly did. And of course, I took a screenshot. Go look on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Go Google it. It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to get you to go look at my spots on social media. You just have to see the cul-de-sac from a bird's eye view. No words had even been spoken in the episode. I voluntarily got my ass up from my favorite spot on the couch, which of course is the corner where the little chaise is. And I took a photo of my TV screen with my phone. Okay. It was that important. We have all four houses, okay? They're looking dry as can be. I mean, of course, it's a desert, but I'm talking like dry as Mary's last pap smear. And they have this drone flying over, and you only see one backyard out of all four that looks like Augusta National Golf Course, okay? You're just waiting for a tiger to come out the back patio door and tee up. I swear to God, the yard was like neon green. You could see it from space. And I said to myself at the time, if that is Robin's yard, I will never, ever, ever, ever stop laughing about it. And I was alerted that it is, in fact, Robin's yard. It is perfect. You could not even write this shit. In your wildest dreams, you would never think that Robin could get away with something so outrageous. I mean, just think about the water bill. To keep a lawn, a backyard, as Dimitri Snowden would say, that green in the middle, the peak of heat in Las Vegas, to keep it that lush and green. I would have thought, okay, maybe Mary would do that. We would never let her live it down because she justifies herself using tens of thousands of gallons of water just like the otherwise, because why should she have to use less water than a family of seven because she's Mary? But the fact that it is, in fact, Robin, legal wife, favorite wife, it just doesn't get any better. It's amazing. It's probably my favorite screenshot of all time. And such a great opening to an episode, right? Well, then we get Maddie with her baby and overgrown man toddler husband at Janelle's house for a pickle-less meal. Something tells me Mary might have some pickles, because you know what goes well with pickles? Catfish! Never gets old, does it? Well, Janelle is having this master plan with Cody that they're going to drop these oh-so-subtle hints to try to get Maddie and Caleb to move to Flagstaff, but she's just not having it. She's not falling for this shit. And this is where she says, and this is what I'm so torn about, she says there's no job opportunities in Flagstaff for she or Caleb, so why would she go? But she's selling LuLaRoe on Facebook, right? Like Mary, or at least she used to be. I actually just found out that Christine, my favorite of all of them, she now has been sucked into this LuLaRoe sales. I think she's in Mary's downline, and it's breaking my frickin' heart, because not only do we find out that Christine is selling LuLaRoe, but guess what? During a Facebook Live, like one of those flash sales that they have, Truly was popping herself in, as Truly is known to do. And apparently she called Isabel a whore. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I didn't hear it personally, but everyone kind of confirmed it. How dare Truly call our innocent scoliosis warrior Isabel a whore? I mean, it's bad enough that a young child is using the word whore to talk about their sister, but let's look at this. She's calling Isabel a whore, even though she has, God, how do I want to say this? Again, I'm not condoning this, but Truly has a few other siblings that she could choose from. Some of them are more annoying than others, and I'll just drop some hints. You're the one drawing the conclusion, not me. Let's just say that there's one of them who requires thousands of hours of manpower used to fold paper flowers for their weddings. I think you catch my drift. Again, I am not condoning Truly saying anything, period. However, if she is going to attack a sibling, she chooses Isabel. To that, I say, shame, shame! Okay, where was I? Kind of feeling like, oh, what's that actress's name in The Princess Bride? The Humpadink, Carol Kane. I just got visions of that. I don't know why. Okay, back to Maddie. Right, she is not going to follow her parents, again, because job opportunity, let's put that in quotes. She divulges quite a bit here. She basically calls all of the wives and Cody out for being fickle and changing their minds a lot. She says they get tired easily, they like to up and move, they like lots of change. And again, I love that she called them out. This is why I love Maddie. I don't love the spouse that she chose in this LuLaRoe bullshit. I love her for what she told us about Mary before she deleted her Twitter. Basically, Mary is a massive bitch and she's hated her all her life. So her admission in this constantly evolving, changing lifestyle got me thinking about the psychology of this all. I tend to think they get tired of their living situations or where they are living easily because they find things that are not easy about it. It's not that plural marriage is hard in their minds. It's the distance between the houses. It's that life in Las Vegas or the cul-de-sac or the housing market. See where I'm going with this? They distract themselves from feeling the feels of their situation by constantly changing the situation. I know. I really should have been a psychologist. I definitely would give Gabe free visits because I think they gave him such a bad edit. He's being a typical teenager. He's being ripped out of his living situation, up and moving on a national TV show for really no apparent reason. He's not the only brown child to be thinking this, so I think we need to leave Gabe alone, just like Britney. Leave Britney alone. And we really should probably leave Britney alone. I probably shouldn't have even said that because I heard she checked into, what did they call it? It wasn't a rehab. A self-care facility. I mean, I love that. I think do what you got to do. Let's take the stigma of mental health out of there, right? I mean, shit. I would go to a self-care facility in a heartbeat. Maybe that should just be something that you get when you turn 18. You get 4 free self-care facility inpatient stays for your lifetime. Conservatives are going to love it. Let's do this. All right, well, at this point, we're in the middle of the move, okay? All the wives are packing, and really things are turning from worse to worst. Because when you see Robin, who's got the greenest grass of all the cul-de-sacs in all of Las Vegas, when she's about to lose her shit on St. Dayton and Brianna, you know it's bad. I thought maybe Robin should, like, take off her long-sleeve shirt, put on a tank top, cool off. And that goes for all the wives. I mean, just stay cool, literally stay cool, calm. And you know what? If you don't get it all packed up, make frickin' Cody do it because he's the one who wanted to move. Now, over at Christine's, she's losing her shit too, and she decides that she's going to set the car alarm off in order to open the trunk. And this leads to my second favorite part of the episode. I think we can all agree, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn in that trucker-style hat, just resting atop her noggin. She's got her arms out like, what the fuck? The nuance of it all was just perfection. I loved how the camera was pulled back at a little bit of a distance, so it was a little foggy. It was a little like a grainy footage. Oh my God, it was great. I mean, Gwendolyn, she went from... Okay, I don't know exactly how many kids there are. Let's just say there's 17. That's a total guess. I'm not going to take the time to total them all up. I've had years of the Duggars. I don't need to do this to myself. Let's just say she went from bottom quarter of the brown children to top 5. Okay, she's right up there just with that little what the fuck. I don't know how much longer after that they all started taking off. I'm going to be honest. I probably missed some things here. It took me 2 hours to get through this episode. It was so boring. I kept finding reasons to pause and take breaks. And there is nothing worse than moving than watching it happen to someone else. Like, you take on the anxiety, you feel it. No one likes it. I did like the feeling, however, when they got to Flagstaff. I felt the little adrenaline rush just like everyone else. And that is the feeling when you finally get to that new place that you're moving. And I'm talking, okay, let's just say you rearranged your room, okay, if you have not moved. We all get that feeling, right? And especially if you are fucking Robin because she's moving into a goddamn fucking mansion. Why? Why does Robin need this space? I understand she has 5 children, okay? I get it. Can't they share a room? No one can, like, shack up with each other. This is a rental. I'm pretty sure they can manage with a large condo, an apartment, or, okay, let's say a house. But does it need to be, like, a fucking 7-bedroom house? It's unbelievable. I can't wait to see what the other wives' houses look like if we get a chance, because I'm just going to assume Mary's house, Janelle's house, Christine's house is going to look like my house next to Robin's house. It's going to be Lilliputian style in comparison, and I can't freaking wait for it. Okay, so we had number 1 moment, Augusta National in Robin's backyard. Number 2 moment, Gwendolyn with the what the fuck face. And number 3 moment, I feel like I'm doing like a little countdown of the year. Let's just go with it. Number 3, Cody sobbing while hugging Caleb. Oh, Caleb. I mean, although I hate him, I had to laugh to myself because he was trying his damn best to muster up a tear, but he couldn't. He couldn't wait to turn around and get the fuck out of there. He and Maddie and Mitch and Aspen, they just tore out of there like Mary out of hell. And can you imagine the discussions in that truck on the way home? That's like a snarky bitch's heaven right there. I want to know it all and what I would give. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this. You know who you are. Again, I don't think I can say your name because you are giving me some really good on the DL information about the Browns. I was made aware that Mitch and Aspen's first dance was to the song Yellow. You know which one I'm talking about? And they were all yellow. I still don't know what Cody danced to with the hat lady. We're going to figure that out, though. All right, so tearful goodbyes, and then we get a really sweet moment with little Areola comforting Mary. It was really cute. She's an adorable little munchkin. And now we get to a very anticlimactic ending. I don't know if this is the season finale, because if it was, that fucking sucked. I didn't see a preview because we jumped straight into Seeking Sister Wife. So I'm going to follow suit and I'm going to jump right in right after a short break. The Snowdens say we do ew, is what I want to say. Right off the bat, I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning. You may want to turn your volume down on whatever you are listening to because I've already had to adjust my volume a little bit because I keep screaming, okay? I already tried recording this and I had to stop a few times and take a deep breath because I am so fired up over this episode. I'm almost sick about it because, okay, well, let's just get right into it. I have 15 pages of, it looks like I could be a serial killer, like I'm planning some, I don't know, I probably shouldn't even say this in this day and age. So it's just scribblings of a madwoman in front of me. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Please don't commit me. But if you do, send me to the same place that Britney Spears is at. So this episode, like I said, is called The Snowdens Say We Do. And at exactly 3 minutes and 17 seconds, I had to pause. In that limited amount of time, Ashley had already put me over the edge. It's unfortunate that I take my meds in the morning to calm my anxiety because I needed it by 11 o'clock last night. Ashley has drawn bindies on her daughters. She gave us a full recap of the season and she's indoctrinated Vanessa to the point, and I'm using that word very deliberately, indoctrinated. Vanessa is dressed in Ashley's clothing, you guys. She's wearing a full headscarf. She's whipping up a delicious breakfast of what looks like mung beans and unrefrigerated sprouts. We found where the Listeria outbreak originated from. I mean, am I the only one that's thinking the Snowdens are like L. Ron Hubbard? And don't come for me, Scientologists, please. I can't take any more on my plate right now. But I truly was getting culty Sea Org vibes from all of this. So we find out Vanessa has a new routine in her life. I know this is going to be really exciting. She wakes up, chops the kale, makes breakfast for the family. And what's Ashley doing? Well, she wakes the kids and gets them ready, brushes their teeth. Whew, I mean, must be hard taking all that on when they are your own fucking kids, you asshole. And what's Dimitri doing? What? Oh, I hear some tinkering. What's that? Oh, he's playing with Johnny number 5 in his office while his women folk are cleaning the house and tending to his spawn. Fuck off, you wannabe cult leader. And I'm not joking about that. Dimitri has all the traits of a cult leader. Allegedly, asterisk, allegedly. Now, Ashley made a comment about haters or people like me and you who have an opinion. We always have things to say. We're so vocal. But here's the thing, Ashley. She said people have negative things to say about the plural lifestyle. No, 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 no. Not at all. Do what you want to do. Sleep with who you want to sleep with. I don't like you because I don't like you as a person, not because you want to share your husband. I don't like Ashley's attitude. Okay, I'm going to talk right to Ashley. I don't like your judgment. I don't like the Hunger Games style screening process. Yeah, we remember seeing you last season with Jocelyn, okay? It's not that long ago. It's not who you are sleeping with or who you share a house with. It's you, sweetheart. It's you and your attitude. Shall we go on to the wedding planning now? Vanessa is going to be marrying Dimitri on the day of the event, but guess what? Ashley's going to renew her vows with Dimitri because she said that they didn't have a wedding. I'm going to put a big, massive question mark on that one because no way in hell did Dimitri and Ashley not have a wedding because they were just martyrs, right? They probably didn't have a wedding because they were being self-righteous about something. Think Brad Pitt and Angelina. Remember, Brad Pitt wouldn't marry her until gay marriage was legal? Sure, Jan. Let's just cut the shit. Ashley cannot let Vanessa have one day without her in it, period. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me put that into terms the Snowdens would understand. Alkaline-free menses. Now, another jackknife surprise was thrown our way when we find out that Ashley and Dimitri's families have never met. How the hell does that happen? They have three children together. Have they never planned an event to celebrate their own children? Is it always just about themselves, and therefore they never thought to include other people? To me, that's just weird. It's bizarre. Most people, I wouldn't judge for that because life is very complicated, but I'm talking about two people like Dimitri and Ashley who are so strongly rooted in this community and tribe building and family bonds and sisterhood. So they don't subscribe to that for their own family line? Riddle me that. Not even Dimitri's mom, Lestra, could make her way into Ashley's tribe over the last 10 years. I had Lestra in my life for less than 20 minutes back in 2008 when she tore through me. Oh, wait, that was Lestra. Yeah, blast from the past. Literally a blast from the past. Remember WoW chips? Well, millennials, you probably don't, but my dearly departed undies that I had to throw away do because that Lestra could tear your shit up without so much as a little gentle notice ahead of time. I'm going to leave that there because, first of all, you know I'm a prude with these things, but this is like a public service announcement. If a Lestra comes back on the market, just say no. If for only Lestra's sake, I mean, this woman has lived a long life and this is how her name is going to be forever linked and remembered as part of a chemical added to potato chips in the early 2000s that people like me took a chance on so we could gorge on chips without guilt. Spoiler alert, in case you didn't catch it the first time, it caused sudden Hershey squirts and I was one of the lucky ones who got the CNN report early on. For those of you who are not so lucky, feel free to share your stories. I know I am not alone, and the Orchard of Snark is a safe space. Now, as long as we are talking about things that make us run to the bathroom and make us wish things on our enemies, Ashley. While all the moms chat awkwardly about their children's terrible decisions, Ashley shares her style inspiration for her wedding dress. Because remember, this wedding for Vanessa and Dimitri is about Ashley. She says her style's more regal matriarch, while Vanessa's is more, I don't know, like ethereal fairy. Take a moment there. Ashley is the matriarch, and Vanessa is a dingy fairy. Oh, we see you, Ashley. Your bitch flower has bloomed like many a housewife on their second season. This chick's need to control and dominate is downright scary. For all Ashley's sisterhood bullshit, wouldn't the word matriarch be a no-no word? Think about that. And let's talk about Grand Meemaw Snowden's wedding attire. This designer that they go to, I mean, I'm no seamstress, and my personal designing is based on years of watching Project Runway and my daughter's new sewing machine. I'm just going to say it's time for this designer to Alvita Zen and pack her knives to go, because I am certain I could whip up something that would have looked better than a styrofoam wreath from Michaels wrapped in this weird flesh tone polyester satin. It was ridiculous. Wear something modest and sit your ass down like all mothers of the bride, you self-serving narcissist. Okay, now let's talk about Dimitri because, you know, he's such a worldly bro. First, interesting that Dimitri drinks a beer while Vanessa had to give up alcohol. Seems to me if Dimitri truly adapted to this whole tribe mindset, we're all the same, he'd be eating and drinking like his women. Next, let's talk about this anklet thing. We learn that the anklet is a nod to Dimitri's indigenous Cuban culture. Tell me more about this deeply rooted commitment to indigenous practices, Dimitri. Lean in, chin on fist. Did your ancestors play with robots, dress in designer clothing? No, they did not, because you know what? I did my research. Dimitri said he's a descendant of the Taino tribe of Cuba. While I would love to verify this, my ancestry subscription needs to be renewed, so that's out. However, I dug deep for some Taino wedding traditions and cultures, and guess what? Although some Taino may have practiced polygamy, Taino women ran the tribes. Yeah, it was actually a matrilineal society in which the women and their children actually lived in a larger village separate from the men. The women ran their form of government, if you will. They decided how shit was run. They even lived with the uncle of the bride. So everything was through the women's side. It was through the women's line. Furthermore, I posted a link in the Orchard of Snark to a site that explained how an actual Taino wedding ceremony would be run. And spoiler alert, there wasn't a regal matriarch theme to it at all. And I didn't read anything about anklets, but whatever, I'll let the anklet thing go. There's so many other things that we can talk about. Number one being, there also weren't goddess parties back in the day. I mean, why in the world can't Vanessa have just one thing, just one thing that is not including or all about Ashley? It's so culty. I don't know how Vanessa doesn't see it. And you know what, Ash? You know what I would love to know? I'd like to know if you had a bachelorette party. I'm going to guess Ashley did. And if she didn't, it wasn't because she was fundamentally against it. It was probably because Ashley was that girl who ghosted all of her girlfriends when she met Dimitri, and then they all moved on. I mean, for Christ's sake, just stop stealing Vanessa's thunder. Let her have a thing. And if this party is for both Ashley and Vanessa, can I ask why Vanessa's sisters were planning the whole thing? They're there early, they're decorating, they're draping shit, they're moving pots and plants everywhere, probably ordered and shipped in all the robes and the pillows. Where were all of Ashley's uplifting feminine energies? Anyone? Bueller? That's what I thought. Now, I don't want to start knocking Ashley's mom and her sister Chanel because, number one, I'm terrified of Mother Ashley, and I mean that in a respectful and revered way. And number two, I don't think they're buying this plural lifestyle bullshit either. The real MVP of the night, and I am unsure if this is a popular opinion or not, but I'm sticking to it. I love Vanessa's older sister, Jennifer. When she threw out that, "Isn't this just a pyramid scheme?" question, I have to believe that the entire TLC viewing audience across the US and the globe did a collective gasp and a DJ Pauly D, "Yeah, buddy," because she freaking nailed it. We're supposed to think Ashley running a fictitious dance studio while Vanessa is at home taking care of her kids is acceptable? Oh yeah, truly this is your empire, Ashley. Tell me more about how you and Dimitri are gonna take his short circuit sequel to all new heights. You're doing it together. Bullshit. Fuck off, Ashley. Ashley and Evelyn motherfucking Cormier, let them build their dance studio combined with a music studio. Make a little empire there in Claremont. Where are they? New Hampshire? Whatever the hell. I mean, the fact that Ashley was answering for Vanessa, that killed me. It's Vanessa's sister asking the question. Let her answer. Ashley speaking for her, that's like David Miscavige shit. That's answering where Shelly is when all we want is Shelly to speak for herself and tell us that she's been in the hole for 10 years and she wants help. Let Shelly and let Vanessa speak. Okay, they're packing now. So Ashley's packing her bag. She finds a stale snack, which looked like a fossilized turd from Candida. It was like as if the cult leaders were coming together behind closed doors to talk about the fact that people are catching on to them. They're foiling our plan for domination via brainwashing and dance studios. Quick, call it an attack. It wasn't an attack. It was a simple question. It was an observation. It's not an attack. Did you see Vanessa calling Ashley's dad an attacker, that she was being attacked when he asked her about her personal sex life? I mean, I think his questioning was far more personal than sister Vanessa's, but no. Ashley's dad asking, that's just a silly man question. Vanessa's sister looking out for her sister, that's motivated by evil. You know what? I forgot to talk about this. Okay, Dimitri said something. Oh, I forgot when he said it, but it was something like, they all know how to get in contact with us, talking about his family. So why did they wait until now to ask us these questions? Well, your families haven't even met one another, so apply your own theory there, Dimitri. You know how to contact them, so maybe you should have gotten all these questions out of the way sometime in between marrying Ashley when you said you wanted to do this and having three kids, meeting a few sister wives, and now getting married. It seems that you had the time too. Okay, we're at the winery. Now, I get why Jennifer needed to and wanted to ask Ashley once again about her feelings for Vanessa, because when she asked Ashley yesterday, Ashley just talked about how plural marriage benefited her. She could run her dance studio. She could get Vanessa to help with the kids. Then she could approve a third wife and she's the matriarch. So to say Ashley felt like her mood was soured, poor baby. It did. It soured your mood. I thought your bindi was supposed to ward off evil and bad energy. Isn't that what it's for? And I'm not trying to offend Hinduism at all. I just think Ashley offends me a lot. It appears to me like Ashley is adopting the bindi as a fashion statement more than the true meaning of it, because otherwise that would not have bothered her. Now, moving on to the wedding day. Surprise, surprise. Ashley is still pouting. I'm hoping that I'm not the only one that sees the hypocrisy of pretty much everything Ashley says and does. She's upset because Jennifer said she had everything going for her in this relationship and Vanessa gets nothing out of it. Yet Ashley's defense is that the reason they're having the ceremony today, stay with me here because I promise you I'm getting somewhere. They're having this ceremony today because it's for all of them. Well, to me, that is still the issue. Today is not your wedding, Ashley. It's Vanessa's wedding because you are already married. And I don't care whether it's a legal marriage or not, because she and Dimitri consider themselves married. That's how they introduce themselves as a couple to us, that they have been married for 9 years. You call yourself a married couple. So to use the argument that the wedding includes you because it's for Vanessa makes no sense. Right? Or maybe I'm making no sense, or maybe I'm making myself clear. What I'm trying to say is just let Vanessa have her own damn day and take a seat, grab a goddess pillow, and lean back. Okay, so fast forward through the 500th time we've wondered if Nate Berkus thinks LA is home or not. Then we get to the ceremony where Dimitri has chosen the ugliest tuxedo jacket I have ever seen, and I have a lot of family members who lived through the 70s. Okay, that shit would look gaudy in a Barbie dream house, and it doesn't even fit the theme of the wedding. They have a lot of Indian, African, winery, indigenous Cuban theme. It doesn't fit at all. And he's freaking barefoot. Gross. Now, Nas, the officiant. I myself have actually experienced an acoustical sound bath before, and it was actually wonderful. I talked about it on my Patreon episode a while back. But as someone who was just sitting outside at a winery, okay, picture yourself there. You're enjoying a nice, oh, Cabernet or a nice Pinot. And all of a sudden, you just hear a tuning fork and Nas. She sounded lovely. Let me just say that. She sounded lovely. She has a beautiful voice. But I would get the giggles, okay? I'm an asshole. I'm being very honest about it. I'm telling you I'm an asshole. I know it. But how could you not start cracking up when someone has this serious look on their face? They ding metal together and down walks a barefoot man in a pretty blazer with a massive bowl. I'm not going to give Ashley the time to talk about her foot washing because I don't give a fuck. But Vanessa, I thought she looked gorgeous, okay? I wouldn't wear what she wore, but she was radiant, she was glowing, she was beautiful. It's just a damn shame that Dimitri and Ashley had to be there. And also a shame that Vanessa didn't even get her own fucking football. She gets nothing. She had to share Ashley's toe jam because I did not see anyone take that bowl, dump out the water, wipe it out, clean it up, put some Lysol in there. No, no. She had Ashley's old grimy cleansing water in there. And if you noticed, Vanessa got a little terry cloth hand towel while Ashley had this nice linen cloth. What the hell is that? I mean, I guess Dimitri did give her a kiss on the part of your foot, like, you know, like the top part where you're supposed to step on if someone tries to kidnap you. But even that moment was taken away because Ashley grabbed Vanessa's hand. She just had to be a part of that too. And by the way, did you guys see Ashley's teeth playing when she smiled? Two little diamond studs, one on each fang. Came just in time because guess who else makes a cameo? Her bejeweled tooth brother, C-True. He's dancing all around. He's got his sunglasses on outside at night. And Ashley is dancing too because, again, she couldn't let Vanessa have her first dance. No, 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 no. She's got to be hovering around in the background like a helicopter parent, helicopter sister wife, making her way into that moment too. Now, just as I thought the dark cloud was lifting, I'm smiling to myself as Mother Ashley, what's her name, Donna is out there, JoJo, the two of them, they're like Ramona Singer, Sonia, back in the day, Turtle Time. All of a sudden, we get the black screen of doom. And although I love a black screen of doom, I just wanted this wedding to end. It said, as everyone got up to dance, Dimitri noticed that his sister Lauren was upset, dot, dot, dot. Well, there's some screaming, there's some talking. It just got heated really quickly, but here's what it came down to. His sister Lauren thought that she and Dimitri were going to have a few minutes to talk and bond, hang out. I'm going to kind of read between the lines and take what we know about Dimitri into account. Lauren wanted to catch up with her brother, but Dimitri probably wanted everything to be filmed because Dimitri is an attention whore. And as someone who didn't choose to be on this show, I'm sure Lauren wasn't expecting every second of their time to be spent on film with these people. So of course, she's going to be disappointed, hurt, pissed. And I am not excusing the fact that her screaming at her kids in the middle of a wedding reception, "Let's go!" was in any way appropriate, but I think it probably stemmed from Dimitri being self-serving all of his life and she had finally had enough. Okay, so then they all dance. We all fall in love with Mama Donna and JoJo even more because who gives a shit? The reunion coming up. Let's take a moment here. Bernie McGee, you just for men brunette dog. I cannot freaking wait for this. And I bet anything TLC is going to make this a two-parter. They're going to leave us on the edge of our seat. Part one's probably going to be boring as fuck. Part two is going to be insane. But I don't care because you know what is going to premiere after the season wraps up? 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. I'm talking Nicole and Azin. That is just bliss to me. Now, more wonderful things to come this week, too. On patreon.com/realitytvpod, I think my mom might be popping in if I can get her between her busy mahjong and swimming aerobics classes. She learned about pot and marijuana this weekend. I know, can you believe it? Pot and marijuana. And that's all she's been talking about for the past 2 days. So for $5 a month, come and take a listen. You get all the back episodes, free stickers, ad-free episodes, an Invite to the Secret Facebook group, lots of good stuff. On Total Request Podcast, that's only $4 a month, a dollar an episode. Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom and I are recapping the Anna Nicole Show, where she goes on a blind date. Gonna let you in on something. A then unknown Bravo celebrity was in this episode, which was a real surprise. So check that out. That's on patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And of course, make sure you're listening to Moms on the Rocks. That's me and my best girl, Carrie from Sip and Shine. We love catching up with each other and just shooting the shit. So tune into all those, and thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for subscribing to Patreon. And until next time, stay salty.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.